Welcome to the Bundesliga show. I'm John Hartley from the Bundesliga World blog. I'm joined and hopefully refreshed from the winter break by Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag. Hi Terry, and I really hope that the time off has treated you well.
Yeah, it has. Thanks very much, John. It's been a truly restive, festive season for me. And yourself, I take it.
Well, absolutely. Terry, did Father Christmas bring you any good Bundesliga goods?
No, alas, no. I got some. I mean, I am wearing my Borussia Dortmund 1975 shirt, but that's as close to Bundesliga merchandise that I own. I'm afraid I certainly didn't get any. I don't think my family are quite up to speed with my Bundesliga obsession.
Well, Father Christmas certainly knows that I like the Bundesliga, and so in the tradition of this show, I will be drinking my podcast cup of tea out of my new St. Pauli mug. Not exactly punk enough for Der Keats Kicker, but I'll try my best. I also got a new St. Pauli scarf, which I must admit is very Roberto Mancini in style. Speaking of the dapper Italian, we'll be talking about him and certainly his new signing when we dial up Deutsche Welle's John Klumpers later in the show. In the meantime, let's give out a cheer because the Bundesliga is back and the second half of the season is just about to start. So just to recap, Borussia Dortmund are the runaway leaders at the top. They've got a 10-point lead over second and third placed Mainz and Bayer Leverkusen. So straight out of the traps, it's a massive game on match day 18. Friday night, BVB take on Leverkusen at the Bayer Arena. What a tussle. Let's not forget that Leverkusen inflicted the first of Dortmund's two league defeats this season. Tranquillo Barnetta and Renato Augusto did the damage on match day one. Borussia were arguably still finding their feet on that day, of course, but they will be without their standout star from the first half of the season, Shinji Kagawa, who's on international duty in the Asia Cup. Will his loss be significant this time out against the Werkself, do you think?
Yes, most definitely. Kagawa has. I saw a bit of the Japan game today, actually, and Kagawa, I think, helped set up Japan's first goal. So he's doing a good job while he's there as well. He's really been a surprise, I think, to everybody. I think even to Klopp, he's kind of arrived there. He's got lots of energy and dynamism, and he works that sort of like forward line extremely effectively. It's difficult to sort of look at BVB's squad and see how they're going to go without him. What kind of player they're going to have? They got in reserve? Do they have anyone in reserve? It's been suggested that Mario Götze might be a replacement, and I guess that's probably what they'll do. I wouldn't imagine he's probably at his age got maybe the kind of finish, and you know, he's a creative player, Götze. Kagawa's a creative player, but like all really good creative players, they're not all quite the same, are they? They don't necessarily do exactly what you would want them to do. And that BVB side is such a well-oiled machine at the moment, or has been, that to have Kagawa missing at this point could be a real loss for them. I'm sure Jürgen Klopp's been wondering what he's going to do, and it'll be interesting to see what answers he has up his sleeve for the match against Leverkusen.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this game. I really think that there's an opportunity here for Klopp, and he's the kind of guy who will take this opportunity. He's known that Kagawa's not going to be there for quite a while. So over the point of the winter break, I've just got this feeling he's been working on something, a little plan to try and deal with the fact that Kagawa's not going to be there. Whether or not it's the Götze, moving Götze into that role, maybe it's one of the other midfielders, I'm not sure. Maybe even Robert Lewandowski playing behind the striker, behind Barrios. But I just think that there's something in there that he's just going to have something that is going to take maybe Jupp Heynckes by surprise. I'm quite looking forward to finding out what it is.
Or maybe he's going to play 4-4-2 and play Lewandowski alongside Barrios.
That's right, he could play a 4-4-2. He could completely change the formation of the team. And that just adds to the excitement and anticipation about this game, really, I'd say. And not only that, it's not just a game that's crucial for these two teams, is it? It's it really has an impact for the teams around them. There will be other clubs in the division who will be looking at this result and looking at it in terms of, well, how they can capitalise and move forward, basically. And this is a proper turning point in the season. For Leverkusen, there's the small matter of a potential return of a player you may have heard of, some chap called Mikael Ballack. Bayer have had a great start to the season, also having lost only two games. And I'm thinking that introducing Ballack back into this successful side could be a hindrance rather than a help. In my opinion, he needs to earn his place back in the team. But having said that, we all know that decisions aren't always made that way, especially for a player of Ballack's status.
Yeah, I am inclined to agree with you. I think Ballack was real, still recovering from his broken leg, wasn't it, in the FA Cup final that he sustained last year at the beginning of this season. Not only that, obviously he's coming into a new side, a young side, a very dynamic side, and he looked with a mixture of the getting used to the pace of the Leverkusen team, and obviously recovering, coming back from his injury, and all, just, I imagine, all the changes that are going on in his lifestyle as well. More than anything else, he looked really, really one-paced, and he looked poor, frankly. But he is Mikael Ballack, and he will play if he's fit, and that's the end of it. It all depends on how much preparation, good preparation, he's put in during the winter break. I have not seen any of the pre-season friendlies, and I've not had any kind of insight as to whether or not he's in good shape, and I suspect that those kind of friendlies don't really give you much of an indication anyway. That's why I tend to not bother watching them, but we shall see. It's fair to say that on both sides there are notable absences and indeed notable additions, and we'll just have to see just how it works up in that big shake-up. It could be a pivotal game in the could be a turning point, as you say, in the Bundesliga season.
Of course, there's another player who could make a reappearance in this first round of games after the winter break, and he isn't a bad one either. Another chap that you may have heard of, Arjen Robben. He helped haul Bayern to the double and the Champions League final last season, and there's no doubt that he's one of the best players in the world when he's at the top of his game. If he can recreate that, then it surely makes Bayern even more of a force to threaten for a Champions League place this season. And I have a feeling that the fullbacks across the league will soon have a very sinking feeling. I mean, it isn't nailed on that he's going to start at the weekend, but just the fact that he could come on is almost a threat in itself, isn't it?
No, it's very exciting to the prospect to see a player like that. You do tend to sometimes forget about them when you're watching the games, at least, that he's there, that he's actually still there to come back. And we've said a lot of things about Bayern Munich in the last few months in the first part of the season, and you kind of sort of like think, well, you know what, Robin will be back, and he'll be back this summer time around. So why am I calling it the summer? It's not really the summer, is it? He'll be back for the second half of the season, and I think he's going to be superb. But I'd be interested to see. I think because there's him and there's also Ribéry, isn't there? So will they both play at the weekend, or will Ribéry start and Robin come off the bench? I suspect Robin will probably come off the bench. He does have a bit of a history with injuries, doesn't he? But my goodness, if he can influence Bayern in the way that he did last year, then there's a very strong possibility that they could really challenge. Philipp Lahm and Christian Erlinger have been in the press today and have been quite bullish about the forthcoming second half of the season. I think that they're, to an extent, they're trying to put some pressure on BVB and Leverkusen, rightly so. But I think that pressure is warranted because, you know, if they're coming together, if their attack line is coming together in the way that we think it is, or the way that they're building themselves up to, then we're in for a lot of goals in the Bundesliga for Bayern Munich and against Bayern Munich, obviously, because their defensive issues haven't been resolved.
No, and I just find it a hugely exciting prospect, just the idea that Arjen Robben is going to be around for the second half of the season. I really do think that it kind of turns the whole thing on its head. It's like, whatever you thought was going to happen before, Arjen Robben actually changes that. You know, he is that much of an impact for a team like Bayern Munich that you know, he will turn that team around and again haul it up. You know, if he's on form, then teams where they weren't getting wins in the first half of the season, they went through that period of quite a few draws away from home before the break. Well, they become wins, and when they become wins, then they really are knocking on the door. And they've still got to play Leverkusen and Dortmund again, so there's chance to claw back points there. And this isn't over by a long shot, is it?
No, absolutely not. But just the one word of caution before we get too carried away with Bayern is, you know, although Martin Demichelis is gone, and many people I'm sure will think that that's actually a good thing for Bayern's defence, you know, they are making some changes at the back there. It looks very much like the you know, like there'll be some changes there, and there'll be Bajduba probably back. But, you know, they will ship goals, and I think we're going to talk about their Bayern defence a little bit later. But there's going to be some interesting times for Bayern Munich. But I think there's going to be goals at both ends for Bayern Munich this season.
Now, just very briefly, the record champions kick off the second half of the season against Wolfsburg, and the Wolves should themselves have a key player back. One of the missing links from their defence, Arne Friedrich. Now, Friedrich arrived in the summer, but due to injury hasn't played a single Bundesliga game for the club. So this is quite a match for the defender to make his debut. So how do you see him settling in? This is going to have to be a pretty swift understanding that he's got to make with Simon Kjær.
It's absolutely critical, the next couple of games, I think, for Wolfsburg's fortunes this season, and indeed in the slightly longer term for Steve McLaren's fortunes at the club itself. There's some benefit to the fact that they've had this break and hopefully have had an opportunity again, as we've just been saying before, for a player like that to bed in. Friedrich would have had a closed season, the pre-season, of course, with Wolfsburg and with Kjær. But obviously hardly any match experience, so that he's going to have to get in there and really take control of that defence. And you wonder to an extent, you know, whether or not he needs to take control of that dressing room. We had a fascinating conversation with Andy Bressel before Christmas about the Wolfsburg situation, and I think that they need some strong leaders in there, and Friedrich could well be one of them. He's an experienced player. A very experienced player and a very good defender. So if he settles in and Wolfsburg can stop conceding goals, then they're in for hopefully a reasonable second half of the season.
Well, we'll take a look at the other games coming up this weekend in part three. But before that, I caught up with Deutsche Welle Radio's John Klumpers to discuss the big stories from the Bundesliga during the winter break. So join us after this little sting. Welcome back to the Bundesliga show. Now on the line from Bonn, we have John Klumpers from Germany's international broadcaster Deutsche Welle, that covers the Bundesliga, and he's one of the presenters on the network Sports Report. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to help out any way I can and being on the show for the first time. A premiere.
Yes, your premiere, your debut on the Bundesliga show, and to kick off your first appearance, let's talk about some of the big stories during the winter break. Arguably, none of them are bigger than the sale of Edin Dzeko to Manchester City. It was a record fee paid for a player in the Bundesliga, a whopping €32 million. There's no doubt that City are getting a striker of real quality who scored more goals in 2010 than any other striker in the division. But where does this leave Wolfsburg? Is it actually a relief for Steve McLaren, despite losing such a great player?
I truly don't know, John, how much of a relief that is. Edin Dzeko was their top goal scorer, 9 goals in the first half of the season. Lots of people are saying, oh, his head was elsewhere much of the time. But, yeah, I don't mind having a 9 goals scorer if his head is around somewhere else. But it may provide some psychological relief within the squad. And yet, I am very curious to just see where they're going to pick up the offensive slack. Glafit has admittedly had some flashes of brilliance, but Diego has been more than a great disappointment. And you know, just looking at their roster heading into the season in August, two of the three cornerstones from their championship season 2 years ago are now gone. Edin Džeko in Manchester and Zvezdan Misimovic playing in Turkey, and Gafit certainly not at the same level, and Diego hasn't been able to help that much. Steve McClaren, I think, still has a lot riding in these first few weeks, and it doesn't start off easy, huh, getting to play against Bayern.
No, certainly not. I mean, it is probably the game of the one of the big games of the return fixtures in the league. Who do you think that there's been all kinds of rumours about who Wolfsburg might bring in to start plugging the gap left by Džeko? What's the latest talk in Germany at the moment?
Well, what I hear going around, you know, and looking at the internet and all the transfer gossip circles, is Algero Elia from Hamburg. Not a pure striker per se, but certainly an offensive midfielder. I don't see personally how that would help fill that gap. They brought in Mario Mandzukic at the beginning of the season to try and help out up front, but he's hardly seen any playing time. Steve McClaren's stated goal, though, is to get into this classic, or what is now turning into the classic 4-2-3-1 setup, and he tried that at the beginning of the season and found that Džeko alone wasn't doing so well, or he just didn't get the balls up front that he needed, and I really don't know where they're going to find a good striker, to be honest. It's not a rich market at the moment.
No, you're certainly right, and certainly with Elia at Hamburg, he's hit and miss, to say the least, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and I think, but there are a lot of unhappy souls in Hamburg, and the question I would have asked, and although I have not seen this in any kind of transfer rumors, it would be a player like Nadan Petric, who really has consistently tried to get away from Hamburg. It doesn't like Amin Fey. He didn't do well with Bruno Labbadia. Whether he would fit into a Wolfsburg system, I think that wouldn't be a bad place for him to go. But I haven't heard anything about him being transferred at the moment, and so I honestly can't say what's going to happen there.
Well, moving on, there's also been some upheaval, to say the least, at Hoffenheim. Ralf Rangnick left after the transfer of Luis Gustavo to Bayern Munich. Yeah. Gustavo is a superb player and will undoubtedly be an asset for Bayern. But what do you think about Rangnick's move? A good and principled decision, or is he missing out on the reality that the Hoff are a selling club?
I think he had big hopes. He brought Hoffenheim into the Bundesliga. He went there when they were in the third division still, and basically they marched within three seasons up to the top division. A great feat, and I think he's proud of it, and rightfully so. I think his goal was really to try and get Hoffenheim into Europe, and more the talk is from Dietmar Hopp, who is the team owner but not the team president, and he really is a hands-off kind of guy, as we've seen in the Luis Gustavo deal. Let's be real, the 50-plus-1 rule doesn't really work here, and Dietmar Hopp has the final say. And as Dietmar Hopp's, I read in an interview this last weekend, Dietmar Hopp wants that team to be able to function within the UEFA rules, which will be implemented within, I think, 2 years, about the financial stability of clubs. And he whether he's obsessed about it or whether he's just using that as a ruse to sell off talent and to really be a feeder to the big clubs in the bigger clubs in Germany and or Europe, that's something I can't answer. But I think Ralf Rangnick felt he just was, they did everything behind his back, you know, lots of email exchanges, and apparently they were telling him, "Oh, you know, nothing. We wouldn't do anything without talking to you." And you know, the next day he reads in the newspaper or hears on the radio that Luis Gustavo is going to Bayern. Yeah, it's a principled decision, but Ralf Rangnick is going to find work somewhere. That's something he doesn't have to worry about.
And where do you think that this may be? There's been all kinds of rumours that he could pitch up here in England. He was, well, very loosely linked with the Liverpool job. But in reality, in a realistic view, where's a more likely club that he may be in the future? I, in my mind, see a club like, let's say, Hamburg in the future.
Yeah, well, who hasn't coached at Hamburg in the last 10 years? You know, it's a heavy rotation there, and it wouldn't be a bad place for him. Yeah, the question really also, if we want to play, weave tails here, is potentially a Stuttgart. Huh? I mean, that's his neck of the woods there, and he might be happy to go to Stuttgart.
And if history suggests, he only has to wait until the autumn season next year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, see how long Bruno Labbadia holds out there. And naturally, his past hasn't been a terribly successful one. After 6 months, it seems things go downhill rapidly. But yeah, what would be interesting to think also is we have to see the situation, how it pans out at Werder Bremen in the near future, and that Werder Bremen are really going through some tough times, and they Thomas Schaaf is I think no longer an untouchable, and if it continues and that they're hanging around the 16th, 15th, 14th places in the table, I think they would keep him for the season unless something drastically went wrong at the start of once the winter starts here. But that would be that could be a potential there too. But that's purely speculative from my point.
Yeah, well, that's something I hadn't quite thought of. I did think that Thomas Schaaf was a sort of he wouldn't get touched certainly this season, but. Speaking of Rangnick's replacement,
really, but if the team continues to play like they do, and they're not going to make it to Europe, yeah. It looks very, very much like that. And they might decide to clean house thoroughly, and it might be Thomas Schaaf who's I don't know if they would ask him to stay with the club, but he's fairly young too. He could find work elsewhere if he wanted.
Yeah, that's very true. And what about Rangnick's replacement, Marco Pezzioli? What do we know about him, and do you see him as a stopgap or someone who can seriously steer the team forward in the future?
John, he's not on my radar screen, to be honest. To me, that looks very stopgap. I think the question really might be is whether... the front office management won't be using him as a puppet, at least for this season, and then go out and try and find a bigger name.
Okay, well, we're sticking with Hoffenheim. One player who's made no secret that he wants to leave the club is Demba Ba. Before we started recording, Sky Sports News here in the UK were reporting that a £5.9 million offer has been made for him by Stoke City. That's in the region of €7 million. Do you think that would be enough for Dietmar Hopp to let him go?
That's not what I heard. I heard that Stoke City is interested and they put that amount of money on the table. But Dietmar Hopp, he is raving mad about Demba Ba. And he said he would just prefer to leave him on in the grandstands until the end of his contract in 2013. I don't think Dietmar Hopp would do that so long. But his stated price is $10 million, and maybe. But what we should mention is that, depending on Stoke City's performance, that could reach $10 million. By the end of the season, so it's tempting, and he wouldn't have to worry naturally about some kind of that he Dembaba ends up getting revenge by playing for another Bundesliga club. He'll never see him again if he's in Stoke.
Well, absolutely, and not only that, but it's not like Dembaba hasn't been trying to get out during this transfer window. I mean, he's been spotted not far from Upton Park, I think, is on a few occasions during January so far. Just finally, in a chat about other big news at the Allianz Arena, Louis van Gaal. Well, he could never really be accused of being a shrinking violet, and he surprised the Bayern hierarchy, not for the first time, by announcing that Thomas Kraft will be the number one keeper at the club instead of the experienced Hans-Jörg Butt. Is this a wise move for Van Gaal, or with the suspect Bayern defence, is this a little too much to load on a rookie keeper?
Yeah, I think that there's a nice German word. It's streitsüchtig. He is always looking to pick a fight, and that, to me, seems to be just another opportunity for him to irritate management. The feud with Uli Hoeneß is widely known, and the two really don't seem to be getting along with each other. I can't understand it. Hans-Jörg Butt has done nothing wrong. And he may just want to do a trial by fire, baptism by fire for Thomas Kraft. And with that defense at the moment, apparently Holger Badstuber will be back and Breno will be playing in the central defense. And yeah, I don't know how solid that's going to be. But he doesn't have too many alternatives. He could try to continue using Anatoly Timoshchuk, who did well. He did very well as a central defender. That is no long-term solution, but maybe another 17 match days would be okay. But it really seems to me, by putting Kraft in that position, that Louis van Gaal is just saying, I don't think we're going to win the title, unlike a lot of people who still have a secret hope that Bayern could pull back from 14 points behind to overtake Dortmund at the end of the season. I think a lot is very much riding on this very first match day, and to see what happens tomorrow, Friday evening, between Dortmund and Leverkusen. And it wouldn't surprise me if Bayern won't secretly be pulling for Dortmund to win that game. A draw would probably be a much even a better result for them. But a Dortmund victory, I don't think they'd shed any tears, because Bayer Leverkusen really is the competition for second place with Bayern Munich. As good as Mainz have been playing, everybody seems to think that's just not a team that's going to pull it off 34 matches.
Well, John, that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you for joining us on the show. Hopefully you'll come back and chat to us again before the end of the season.
Yeah.
In the meantime, folks, do listen to Deutsche Welle's Sports Report, and you can listen to John when he's on there. And I hope you don't mind me pointing this out, but you're also on Twitter, aren't you? And so you can follow John's Twitterings at John Klumpers. Okay, Terry, I really enjoyed that chat with John, but we must move on and look at the rest of the fixtures for the weekend. Plenty of great games upcoming. What's your pick of the week and why?
Well, I think it has to be Hamburg versus Schalke, doesn't it? I think that's going to be the best game of the weekend, apart from obviously the big one that we've just been just talking about. Interesting things going on at Schalke. Always interesting things going on there, and obviously there's all this brouhaha with Jefferson Farfan that's flared up off the field. But two clubs are struggling to find their identity this season, I think it's fair to say. Speculation surrounding Armin Fay, he's under intense scrutiny, and two really good sides were on their day with good players, and so I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, and I'm going to turn my attention to Stuttgart and Mainz. Strugglers VfB may have suffered at the wrong end of two extraordinary results against Bayern before the winter break. But new boss Bruno Labbadia, he's now at the team for a few weeks for training, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do. For Mainz, there's a question mark whether or not they can recreate the form that they had at the beginning of the season, of the autumn season. I mean, no doubt that they've got a really, really gifted team, some really gifted young players, but if they're going to be able to do it consistently through the rest of the season, is anybody's guess, really. But no better way to find out than, well, a game at the Mercedes-Benz Arena, I'd say, and you know, see how it all shakes down. Two teams who've really got to do something after the winter break, really, I think. The other games that we haven't mentioned so far, I'll just go through those so you know what's coming up on match day 18. Werder Bremen are up against Hoffenheim, so that's a debut league game for Marco Pezzioli. Nuremberg are up against bottom club Gladbach. I think that's quite a tussle as well, really. See if Gladbach can start to get themselves out of a mire against the Nuremberg team, who really, they really like to put the cat amongst the pigeons, certainly at home. St. Pauli take on Freiburg. Eintracht Frankfurt take on Hannover. It'd be interesting to see those two teams as well. I think that to see, well, certainly if Hannover can move on from their great start to the season. And then finally, Kaiserslautern take on Cologne. Bit of an unknown quantity, I'd say, Cologne, certainly, with Mikkel Rensing probably going to be in goal for them against a Kaiserslautern team that, well, they are also a very hit and miss side, and whether or not the Billy Goats will be able to step up with their new captain, Lukas Podolski.
Indeed, it's worth also pointing out that Cologne are suffering from the swine flu epidemic. They've got four players out, so their preparations have been, you know, really seriously hampered as a consequence of that. So I mean, we'll see whether or not you know, they've got any gumption for the a tough visit to the Fritz Walter Stadion.
Yeah, well, we'll be looking forward to those games. Well, that's it for this week. Don't forget to check out our respective blogs. On the Bundesbag, Terry has been looking at the strikers to look out for the second half of the season. While on Bundesliga World, there's my State of the Bundesliga address. So do check them both out, bundesbag.com and bundesligaworld.blogspot.com. Also, feel free to follow our ramblings on Twitter. Terry, you can find at Bundesbag, and you can find me at Bundesliga World. Or drop us an email, bundesligashow@footballfairground.com. In the meantime, well, it's goodbye.